In the name of the Father, and Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. This Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the Holy 50 Days, the one that precedes the Feast of the Ascension that we are going to celebrate on this coming Thursday. And the Church arranged for us this passage that starts with the famous comforting word of the Lord when He says, "Let not your heart be troubled." The idea about thinking that Christ is going to be separated from the church by his physical disappearance from the disciples is something that definitely would bring an anxiety. At that time, it was not the ascension that made the disciples to be troubled, but because before this passage, immediately, the Lord spoke about him being taken by the priests and the Gentiles and to be crucified, and then after this, he will rise from the dead. But again, the same idea, the concept about being separated from God, this brings sometimes this thoughts of being troubled. One way or another, then when we feel like maybe God will not grant me heaven, maybe I will be denied access there, maybe God does not listen to my prayers, maybe I'm not accepted by Him. All of these kind of thoughts bring to us sense of trouble. So what are the assurances, what are the comforting promises that we heard today in this passage that Christ brings to our remembrance in order for us to not be troubled? We can find in this passage at least five comforting promises. Let us review them and see all these words can bring to us again this sense of comfort that Christ intended for the disciples to receive. The first thing is, he told them, "In my Father's house are many mansions." What did he mean by this? God's heaven is made open to everyone, to the right thief and to Saint Anthony. This is very comforting. If we would know that God is going to treat everyone the same way, he is only to apply a certain standard to receive people to himself, definitely we would be troubled. We will look at someone like Saint Anthony, who spent his entire life, since he was 18, till his departure when he's 105 in the desert, worshiping God, and we compare ourselves to him, we will definitely feel like, "I have no hope." But we will see that somebody like the right thief was granted the same place to be also in paradise with Christ. Definitely, this is comforting. "In my Father's house are many mansions." This is something that should be brought to our minds all the time when we feel like it is hard for us to make it. I have my own weakness. God's acceptance was granted to everyone, to the married as well as to the celibates, those who are struggling in this world, those who are living in monasticism, to the Gentiles, to the Jews, people from every nation and background. Those who are struggling against sin in a certain way, and those who lived all of their life maybe in worship, everyone has a chance. So this is a promise that definitely would bring comfort to us. No matter where I am, how I started, I have hope in heaven, because in the Lord's Father's house, there are many mansions. The second comforting promise is that I go to prepare a place for you. What does it mean that he will go and prepare a place? We heard him before saying that whenever he come on the last day, he will grant heaven to those who were merciful and were kind. And he will say to them, "Come to me, O you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world." This means that the kingdom of God actually was founded before even that God created heaven and earth. So what does it mean that I am going to prepare a place for you? Actually, even though the place itself, the physical place, is there even before the foundation of heaven and earth, but your place and my place is work in progress. God is in heaven, but he is not in heaven just separated from us. He is working with us from heaven. He is completing your work and my work in order for each one of us to make his way to heaven. And this is a very hard work, actually. God created heaven and earth by just a mere word from his mouth. He said, let it be, and it became. The whole creation of the whole world did not cost him more than the design, his will, and then pronouncing something. But the salvation of one human being would take a lot of time. Why? Because we have our own will that would come in the way, and sometimes it interferes with God's will. He says, I will go and prepare a way for you, working with every individual to get him to reach heaven. This is comforting. God is not in heaven just being on the throne and then hearing the angels every day praising him, and he is watching us as a teacher watching kids taking a test and then seeing what you are going to do about it. This is not the case. We find somebody like Saint Shenouda the Archimandrite, right? He was a saint since he was born, very good man from his youth. Even when he was a child, he put his hand on the head of his uncle, Saint Bimwa, and even he asked him to bless him. Someone like Saint Augustine, God worked with him a long way to get him to be a Christian and later a bishop. Saint Paul the Simple, this man did not know how to be a saint. He was a good person. He was married. And then the way he found his calling was when he discovered that his wife was cheating on him. On the day we came back home, he found another man with his wife. This was devastating for him. He left her, went to the desert. He became a monk. A different route for a man to become a saint, later on became a disciple of Saint Anthony. Someone like Saint Peter the Worshipper, a very cheap person. He never gave to the poor, never even even felt like any kind of compassion towards them. One time a person came to him, very poor person, he used to kick them out. And then on this day, he had a piece of dry bread, and he wanted to throw it on the poor person who came begging for money. He threw it to him to kick him out, to get him out from his door. The poor person got the dry bread and left. On this night, he had a dream that God is weighing his deeds. All of the angels were bringing all of his bad deeds on one side of the scale, and then an angel was trying to find something good, only found this one piece of bread that he threw it as the poor person. Put it on the right and the other side of the scale. He woke up from his sleep, panicking, felt like I wasted my life, how I'm going to be judged, changed his course. He became a very generous, loving person. He sold all of his possessions, even himself, in order to give it to the poor. His life changed 180 degrees. Another route, God is working with the people to find their way to heaven. Saint Moses the Strong, story after story. All these stories are telling to us one thing. He is preparing your way and your place and my place to heaven. This is comforting to us. Sometimes we look to our children, we feel like we didn't do a great job. It's time for them to leave our homes, and we did not really teach them what we intended to teach. We did not raise them in the fear of God. We did not really influence them the positive way we wanted. Maybe it's comforting to know that this is not the end of the story. God still is working. You are part of the story if you're a children. You are not the whole thing. He still is working with them to prepare a place for them in heaven. It's comforting to know that God's work is not done. He is still preparing a place for us and working with each individual to prepare a place for him or her in heaven. The third comforting promise in the passage of today, when he said, where I am, there you may be also. It is delightful to God to be with us. It's amazing how he seeks to be with us. And to our surprise, it is us who are actually trying to get away from him. We sometimes complain against God and say that, where are you? We are looking for you. It is the opposite. He is the one who is trying to find us. And we are the one who are always running away. We turn to him whenever we have a problem, and we get lost, and then we look around and we are in trouble and say, where are you? We are the ones who lost the way. His work from the beginning to the end is to find the place where He will become with us. From the earth, the first earth in Genesis, to the last earth in Revelation, it is the same theme. God wants to be with us. He is the one who said that I am standing on the door and knocking. We are the ones in charge either to open the door or to let Him stand outside and not to welcome Him. It is us who turn Him away. He says, where I am, there you may be also. This is the delight of His heart. He says, I will come again and receive you to myself. So the separation will be for a time. It is not forever. You will maybe you will not see me by your eyes, but I will come again and receive you to myself. He keeps saying this kind of promise and assurance. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Even if you don't perceive me by your physical eyes, I will be with you. Again, he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Blessed is the family that can stand and pray together. Two or three people standing and praying, knowing that Christ in this moment is among them. We avoid this sometimes and we feel like it's a burden. We can do anything, maybe except that we find the time where we stand and pray and receive Christ among us. And then we are anxious because we don't feel His presence and we wonder why. Maybe this is our choice. In Revelation, we find also another assurance. He is in the among His churches saying these things, says He who holds the seven stars, the stars are the bishops, in His right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. And the seven golden lampstands are the churches. He is walking among us. Believe me, my brethren, when I tell you, Christ is in our midst today. He is walking among us. He is watching over us. He is seeing what is in your heart, in your mind. And believe me, He is not here just to watch and observe. He is here also to serve, because this is what He used to do. And this is whom He is in His humility and His love. Where I am, there you may be also. This is His promise. He is always faithful. Another promise, the fourth one, He says, where I go, you know, and the way you know. One of the most troubling things is for a child to lose the way, looking around, not seeing his father, not to know how to get to him. So he says, I am the way. So if you feel you are lost, don't be troubled. You know how to come to me. Him being the way, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If He would say, I am a way by which you can come to God through me, this actually can make us to be troubled. What about other ways that people can get to God through Him, through other ways? What about being in another religion? But He made it very clear, I am the way. There is no other way. So you cannot be troubled or confused about how to get to God. If you know Him, you know how to get to heaven. If you know Him, you know the way to be with God. In order for us to be able to get to Him, to get to know Him, we have to walk as He walked. This is what St. John is saying to us in his first epistle. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. We cannot claim that we know Christ, to know the way, if I walk as I wish, if I conduct myself as it pleases. If I am the church today, I'm supposed to be praying. Being on my phone, it tells me that I am doing something that Christ would definitely not be doing. I am distracted. I am here physically, but I am not walking as He walked. Christ would never go to the temple and being distracted, playing something in His hand. He wouldn't do something like this. If you want to be like Him, walking in the same way, do as He did, walk as He walked. Not only so, but He also is giving us the comfort. Even if I'm confused, I will hear some voice will tell me about where is the way. We hear this in Isaiah 30:21. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Who is this voice? It is the Spirit of God that will talk to my ear and say, this is right, this is wrong, don't do this, do that. The problem is not that we really do not know. The problem is that after I hear this, often we choose to ignore, to decline. I know it is not right, but it is fun. It is enough. I will do what is fun, even if I know it is not right. How many times we make such a choice? Even if I don't know the way, if I don't know Christ, I'm not sure about what to do, I'm not heeding the voice, I still have the footsteps of the flock. Christ is giving an advice to the bride in the Song of Solomon. If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock. See what the people before you did and just imitate them. Girls who are asking about the prom, or boys, should I go or not? Ask yourself, would you see St. Mary dancing in a party? Would you see St. Rebecca or all of those people doing the same? This is the flock. Those are the people who preceded us to heaven. If they didn't do it, which kind of footsteps are you following? And then we claim that we are walking in the way. Which way you are walking in? We invent ways for ourselves. And we claim at the end of the day, this is the way that's going to lead us to heaven. How? There are footsteps of those people who came before us. If we made this mistake before, we walked our own way, it's time to change. And we acknowledge that we are making ways for ourselves. Not only so, but also the comforting word that when we sin, when we fall, when we slip, He still will guide us and will correct us while we are on the way. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He teaches sinners in the way. If I have the right intention, if I really want to walk in the way and I fall, He will correct me. He will not abandon me, but at least I should acknowledge that I made a mistake. All of these comforting words, they come to those people who are walking in the way. The fifth promise, comforting word is what, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. The assurance that He listens. How many times we doubt Him? We doubt that He listens to us. Why we doubt Him? We doubt because we think that if God loves us, if He listens, then He has to do what we tell Him. This concept, there is something wrong about it. Because if we assume this way, then we think that whatever I desire is right, and I know what is good. We have to think twice about this. This is not the case. At a certain time, you read this in Acts chapter 12. At the beginning, Herod took St. James and killed him. And he took St. Peter and he was intending to kill him after the feast. The church was praying for both saints, for God to deliver both of them. St. James was beheaded and St. Peter was delivered. I would ask you a question. Did God listen to the prayer or not? He did. Did He listen only to the prayers of the church on behalf of St. Peter or also on behalf of the St. James, for both? The outcome was totally different. One person was martyred and one person was delivered. So what is actually, can we understand from this story? God listened. The outcome was different. God was good in both. This was the ultimate goodness for both of them. Why? Because God is good. And He is beyond, His goodness and His wisdom is beyond our understanding. We have to be sure that God knows, He understands, He listens, and then at the end of the day, He makes a decision. This is what we need to trust. God listens. He assures us, if you ask in my name, I will listen. I will do it as far as this will help your salvation. So these are the comforting words of the Lord today to us. Before the ascension comes and we feel like, oh, He's in heaven now and maybe we'll feel this anxiety of separation. What is the key to receive all of this comfort? This verse that he started his speech with, you believe in God, believe also in me. We cannot receive all of these unless we believe that God is good and God is wise and God is love and God listens. And we believe that He is what He claimed to be. All of these are for us to be comforted, not to be troubled. May the Lord grant us this comfort and this consolation by which we live, by which we receive His peace at all times. To Him is the glory forever and ever. Amen.